And says, when he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. This is the word of God.
Driving these Oklahoma streets after having been gone for 14 years is bringing back memories of my adolescent times that I haven't thought about in over two decades. This week I remembered how badly I wanted to fit in with the cool kids in middle and high school. Material items were a main way we tried to fit in back then, and we still do today. In the fifth grade, it was slap bracelets. In the sixth grade, it was Umbro brand shorts and t-shirts. Whether it was Trolls, Walkman CD players, Sun In spray to bleach your hair, or the latest grunge flannel long-sleeved shirt, you just hoped that if you wore the right clothes, carried the cool Jan Sport backpack, listened to the trending music, somehow magically you would finally fit into the social circles you had previously been excluded from. In my younger years, the trick would work for a while. Kids would be interested in you long enough to play with your new shiny toy. But it would become old hat within a few days, and only your truest BFFs would stick around. The older I got, I found out that it didn't matter what you wore or accessorized with. You either fit in or you didn't. What really rocked my world around defining who it was that I wanted to fit in with in the first place. During this sixth and final Sunday of Lent, over the past weeks, we have been exploring these themes of journeying into the dark wood. We've used this dark wood metaphor for those times in our lives when we've been uncertain, felt empty, been thunderstruck, gotten lost, or been tempted to do the good which is not ours to do. Today, however, we focus on who goes with us on these journeys. We do not need to sojourn alone. The theme for today is the gift of misfits. Many have loaded connotations associated with the word misfit. Some remember the 1964 stop-motion animation TV special Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which featured the island of misfit toys. In the original version, Santa did not save the unwanted or broken toys that were relegated to an island by themselves. After it aired on TV, angry letters from children arrived at the studio demanding the misfit toys be helped. A short scene was added which showed Santa and Rudolph making good on their promise to go back to the island and deliver the misfits to the homes of children. This updated version is the one which has aired every year since 1965. What exactly is a misfit? The standard definition is a person who is different from other people and who does not seem to belong in a particular group or situation. I'm sure many of us could identify with this term in one way or another. Of course, today on Palm Sunday, we remember when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, a misfit who stood out from the crowd and refused to fit into the prescribed ways that others believed he would lead them as a king. Jesus headed towards Jerusalem with his disciples to celebrate the Passover meal. During this occasion, they would gather around tables, and they celebrated their journey from slavery in Egypt to freedom and liberation. They recalled how Moses responded to God's Spirit calling from the burning bush, asking him to stand up against Pharaoh. They would recount how it took 10 plagues before Pharaoh would finally allow the Israelites to leave. The final plague was the death of all the firstborns in Egypt. The Israelites were instructed to mark their doorposts with blood so the angel of death would know to pass over their homes during the 10th and final plague. That's where this holiday gets its name, Passover. Celebrating Passover was a central sign and symbol of the faith, so Jesus and his disciples made the trek to Jerusalem for the holiday. He arrived in town on a lowly animal, and yet the people treated him as a king, laying their coats down like an unfurled red carpet and pulling down palms from the trees to provide him with fanfare. They wanted so much for him to become their powerful king, who would overthrow the forces around them that had brought poverty and oppression. But that was not the way Jesus fit into the story of what we now call Holy Week. From our own life experience, we know how much can change and occur in the short span of only one week. Palm Sunday revealed a joyous parade-like festival. People's hopes were high and change was in the air. Then, in the span of a single weekend, the following occurred: betrayal, an after-dark showdown and shameful criminal arrest, desertion, mockery, and a public death sentence caught on tape and viewed on repeat. How could so much go so wrong so quickly? Does this not happen here and now? Do we not see the equivalent on the nightly news in cities all across the world? The story of Holy Week is horrendous, awful, and yet powerful beyond measure, or else we wouldn't still be talking about it 2,000 years later. So many of our struggles and hardest weeks of our lives are hellish beyond measure, and yet many who have made it through to the other side of the dark wood say they would do it all over again if they had to, just to end up where they are today. Eric Elms, author of The Gifts of the Dark Wood, says this, quote, "The presence of challenge and struggle, which many take as a sign that something is going wrong, may be a sign that something is going right. It is better to truly live before you die, by finding your path and finding your full humanity, than to die before you ever get around to living." When we treat the dark wood as a place where the good, the bad, and the ugly in our lives can be embraced and explored rather than avoided, eventually we are able to look back over the path we've trod and make an affirmation that is unthinkable when sticking to the adversary's broad streets of certainty and highways to success. We may say, "I never would have chosen to have X, Y, or Z happen, nor would I ever pass it off as good or claim that it was all part of God's plan. Yet to stand in the place I now find myself, I would choose to live through it all over again." This is not an affirmation one makes easily or quickly or without due consideration of the very real pain and suffering one has experienced. nor is it an affirmation one can make on behalf of others and their struggles. Still, it is an affirmation that many Darkwood wanderers are eventually able to make for themselves wholeheartedly. They do so because they have discovered that an unexpected love meets them in darkness, and that struggle and grace have provided the light they needed to find their way forward. End quote. One of the reasons any of us make it through the dark wood is because of those who walk beside us for some portion of the journey. Elms calls these people misfits, but he has a different definition for the word than the dictionary does. His definition is someone who is being intentional about embracing the gifts of the dark wood and finding their place in this world. He says there are at least three types of misfits who can be powerful companions to us along the way. The first misfit is a mentor or a guide, someone who has walked the road before and knows which paths lead to dead ends and which ones lead back out into the light. You might only be in contact with this misfit every once in a while. Could be a counselor, a pastor, a wise friend. But this person listens to you without judgment, shares their perspective, and does not try to turn you into something that you are not. Books and literature can be helpful guides along the way, but eventually most of us need a living, breathing companion to check in with every once in a while. I wonder if you already have this type of misfit guide in your life. The second misfit you don't want to leave home without is a band of traveling companions. I think of Dorothy and her friends, the Scarecrow, Tin Man, Cowardly Lion, and of course, Toto. One's traveling companions don't have to have gone through what you're going through, but they are people you can share your joys and fears with, those you can be your true self around, the ones who will help you when you're down, and vice versa. These sojourners help you to remember that day in and day out, you are not alone. Are you able to envision who in your life might fall into the second misfit category? The third misfit that is priceless when you're walking the dark wood is that of a misfit community of faith. Elms describes these communities as ones who are not throwing out the ancient traditions, but honoring them and making them new by moving forward with the help of the Holy Spirit. He identifies 12 characteristics that, in his experience, form the common identifiers of such misfit communities of faith that have emerged across the fringes of religions and denominations worldwide. Let's listen to hear if our own community of faith matches up with any of these 12 characteristics. Such misfit communities of faith express their love of God in four ways. They are letting go of the notion that their particular faith is the only legitimate one on the planet. They are letting go of literal and inerrant interpretations of their sacred scriptures while celebrating the unique treasures that their scriptures contain. In essence, as we say in the UCC, taking scripture seriously, but not always literally. They are letting go of the notion that people of faith are called to dominate nature. And they are letting go of empty worship conventions and an overemphasis on doctrines as tools of division and exclusion. Such misfit communities of faith express their love of neighbor in four ways. They are letting go of racial prejudice and narrow definitions of sexual orientation and gender identity. They're letting go of an understanding that people of faith should only interest themselves in the spiritual well-being of people and are embracing a more holistic understanding that physical and spiritual well-being are related. They're letting go of the desire to impose their particular vision of faith on the wider society and are embracing the notion that their purpose is to make themselves more faithful adherents of their vision of faith. and they are letting go of old rivalries between liberal, moderate, and conservative branches of their faith. Finally, such misfit communities express their love of self in four ways. We heard love of God, love of neighbor. This is love of self. They're letting go of notions of the afterlife that are dominated by judgment of unbelievers. They're letting go of the notion that faith and science are incompatible and are embracing the notion that faith and science can serve as allies in the pursuit of truth. They are letting go of the notion that one's work and one's spiritual path are unrelated and are embracing an understanding that rest, recreation, prayer, and reflection are as important as work, and that our work is a calling and expression of our sweet spot. And lastly, they are letting go of old hierarchies that privilege religious leaders over lay people and are embracing an understanding that all people have a mission and purpose in life in response to the call of the Holy Spirit. What do you think? How did we fare? Do you consider this place a community of faith which can journey with you when you are in the midst of the dark wood? Our contemporary reading for today speaks to us about the nearness of God. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe says, "The world is so empty if one thinks only of mountains, rivers, and cities. But to know someone who thinks and feels with us, and who, though distant, is close to us in spirit, this makes the earth for us an inhabited garden." I don't know of a single person who has escaped living through the dark wood from time to time, including Jesus of Nazareth. But one of the biggest reasons we are able to persevere and make it through is that we do not go it alone. God's Spirit is with us throughout and blesses us with gifts from the dark wood. Some of these gifts come to us in the form of our misfit guides, our misfit friends, and our misfit communities of faith. Maybe you've had recent times of feeling discarded in life, like those inhabitants of the island of misfit toys. But thank goodness for those who protest on our behalf, just like the letters from angry children who demanded the toys be given new life and passed on to live in the homes of children who would love and cherish them, no matter how broken or misfit they may be. You are priceless no matter who has discarded you. And God has a plan and purpose for your one precious and unique life. Is God calling you to protest on behalf of those who have been discarded? Maybe you've had one hell of a week. Perhaps it has included some of the elements of Jesus' final week: betrayal, showdowns, criminal activity, desertion, mockery, or death. No matter what may come from your hellish experiences, I do not believe the bad things we go through are part of God's plan. However, God is able to provide us with gifts of grace from the pain and suffering we endure, overcome, and transform from. And as you travel on your journey, pay close attention to who it is you are trying to fit in with. Who do you consider the cool kids to be? Those with shiny, flashy toys, which popular culture teaches us to crave and accumulate? Or do you fit better with those misfit communities, the ones which companion us through the red carpet runways and the thorny Golgotha pathways, through the palm fanfare parades and the foot of the cross moments in life? This coming week is a big one in the cycle of our communal life. Let us enter it together, open to the gifts from the dark wood. Amen.